Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of the Beatitudes,
we were taught that every profession of faith in Christ is sooner or later met with a test to see if we are truly willing to follow Him. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Neither the world nor the culture sets the agenda or purpose for life. We serve a heavenly, holy Master. And there is no situation in which anger, in which suicide, depression, or any of those things is our proper response. Now, never run from your problems. Face them in the power of the Lord. There's still not anything that He's not made in a way of escape, that you can bear it. Not run from it, bear it. Now, we put ourselves ahead of God, and when we do, we lose eternal rewards. And that brings me to another point. I believe every profession of faith in Christ is met, sooner or later is met, with a test. And does that correlate to the parable of the seeds upon the rock and the parable of the sower? There have been problems as adultery, wayward children, financial setback, premature death, church split, and other home problems and rejections. And these are things that have served to bring sorrow or a broken heart. And this is that seed upon a rock that wilts, blames God, and goes back to the world. And what a shame that is. And I hope that doesn't happen to you, my friend. I think of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Where it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. And then I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the Lord lets them know, says, hey, look. You can say my name all you want to and even say, Lord, Lord. But you're looking at, hey, we've prophesied. I've cast out devils. I've done many wonderful works. You're not looking at yourself as a sinner. You're looking at yourself as deserving God to do something for you. And it's all about yourself, nothing about the Lord. And so he says, I never knew you. So when you're trying to do righteousness and there's opposition, sometimes God allows that opposition to show yourself, not to punish you, but to show you yourself that you're not as righteous and holy as you think. In Matthew 7:13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, this entertainment religion of today that crosses denominational lines, it ends up leading to the broad way. Now, if you're right with God and bearing spiritual fruit for Him, we know that you'll allow the life of Christ to flow through you. You'll be obedient. You'll be cleansed from sin. You'll be prayerful. And you'll be one who studies and meditates in the Word of God. It'll be such that it'll really take a whole lot to keep you from God's house when the doors are open. But if you're not right with God, you're not allowing the life of Christ to flow through you, you're not bearing spiritual fruit, you're not in the Word of God, you're not consistent in His house. If you are saved, you're going to be a shallow Christian at best. Are you satisfied with that? Are you satisfied with being a shallow Christian? My friend, one day, when it's too late, you will be ashamed. In 1 John 2:28, it says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You see, we've got to make a choice in this life of whether we're going to go the broad way of Matthew 7:13 or the narrow way of Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And my friend, you've got to decide whether you want religion on the broad way or righteousness on the narrow way. You've got to make a choice. You know, it's funny. I'll be in a revival meeting and they'll boast 50, 60, 70, 80 people got saved. And you might see two or three that follow up in baptism. Now, if people can't obey the very first commandment after their salvation, there's a problem. I remember one evangelist coming in saying, "Hey, you come forward and get saved. Nobody's going to talk to you about baptism, church membership, or anything else." Well, that evangelist, by saying that, is making it sound like that baptism and church membership is a bad thing, and even attending the church is a bad thing. So why have an evangelist in like that that feels that way? If he doesn't respect God's institution, then he's got a problem in the heart. And as they said, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Now again, this all goes back down to that if you're looking at the present only, you then fail to have eternity set in your heart. You fail to look into eternity. And as a result, eternal things that have a cost to them now really bring a problem in your life. And oftentimes we're not really willing to face those problems. We don't want those problems. We want nothing to do with it. Now, there is a cost in serving the Lord. But I'll tell you this. Earthly treasures cannot afford the reward that you'll have in heaven if you'll just keep following the Lord. You see, the gracious mourning heart has a serious joy and a satisfaction, which is a blessing to it in this life, and it's not dependent upon the circumstances. It doesn't matter that he just lost his job. He still has the peace and joy of God in his heart. This is a bowed humility that takes us to great heights. This is a joy unspeakable, of which the world has no idea. And that brings us to the mourning spoken of by Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the example of mourning. We realize that he mourned and wept for those who mourned not nor wept. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, 38, he says, "O Jerusalem," as he stands there overlooking the city just days before he's going to be crucified. And he looks over the city and he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Those are strong words. He wept over what they could have had had they turned to the Lord with their whole heart. Had they had the eternity of God set in their heart instead of the present life. He wept for their sinful ways. He wept concerning their spiritual blindness and their unbelief, as we see in John 11:35, when we're told that Jesus wept. His mourning is shown through his very humanity, fearing God. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus, in his humanity, had strong crying and tears to the deity of the Father in heaven, and he was heard. But again, this is the example of mourning. What is the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 9:10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We also find that in Proverbs 8:13, it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but that only tells us that it's the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't tell us actually what the fear of the Lord is. So in Proverbs 8:13, we're told what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate, God says. So if God calls these things evil, then they're evil. And he says that the fear of God is to hate evil, and to hate things as pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth. In other words, he shed tears and he made supplication, for he was mourning for the sin of his people. Now, isn't it interesting that when Jesus talks to his brethren in the flesh, and by that I mean those children that were born to Mary after Jesus had been born to her when she was a virgin. After she is a virgin, the Bible lets us know that Joseph and her came together, says Joseph knew her not until after the birth of Christ. Then we know that they came together as husband and wife in one flesh, and we know that there were more children born. Well, those brethren really didn't believe in him as Messiah. And they asked him, are you going to go up to Jerusalem? It's the feast time. And he says, well, y'all going up. Mine hour is not yet come. He says, you, they won't hate you, but me it hates. And then he said why they hated him. Because he testified of their works that they are evil. And they hated him for preaching that way.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.